morning, and let's go to the book of John, John chapter 14. John chapter 14, I'm going to read the chapter because I want to get all the way to the ending of the chapter, and is where I want to start from today. But I just thought it'd be better to read the entire chapter, because I want you, as I read, I want you to mark every time the word Father is used. I'd like you to do that. John 14, chapter 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou, Showest the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever he shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Now, Father, we thank you for the Word of God. And Lord, I just pray you'd help me to be a blessing this morning. We're so thankful that we have an opportunity to celebrate our fathers. And Lord, that word Father is a is meant to be a blessed word. Lord, we just pray that you'd help us to see and understand what we need to know today about you as our Father. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when I look at this passage of Scripture, there's a lot of things that we could talk about. If you were to go over to Galatians chapter 1 and turn over there with me, or Galatians chapter 4. In the book of Galatians chapter 4, starting in verse 1 is where I want to start. But it's an amazing thing that it says. It says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth his Spirit, the Spirit of his Son, into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." And, you know, we talked about in the Sunday school hour, we talked about the fact that, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And I made the point that we could be nothing more than servants and be redeemed, but God's chosen to adopt us, and he sends forth his Spirit in our hearts. And so there's that wonderful, and what should be joyous all the time, every time we think of it, that joyful and wonderful acknowledgement and understanding about what the Bible says, that we are indeed, when we trust Christ, the children of God. The same book of Galatians says, "For you're all the children of God through faith in Christ Jesus." And that ought to be something that ought to get you excited about. You ought to be happy about it. It ought to bring joy to your heart. It's meant to bring joy to your heart. That God regards you in such light. Even if you are living in disobedience to God, there's something between you and God, there's some sin. You know in your heart, because if you believe the Word of God, you know in your heart that there's a way back, don't you? Isn't that amazing? You know, the prodigal left thinking he didn't need his father. All he needed was the money, his inheritance. That's all he needed was his inheritance. And he left, and then after he squandered his inheritance and wasted it in riotous living, and now he's in a time of famine, and now he's at the point where he's willing to eat hog slop. He finally realizes what he left behind. And he goes back to his father, but I believe down in his heart he always knew there was a way back. Now I hope if you're here today and there's something between you and the Lord, that you would realize that there is indeed a way back, and that you would humble yourself and repent and believe the Word of God and confess your sin and forsake it. So that you could know that. I hope you know there's a way back. Just like we tell the lost sinner, the person that has rejected Christ as their Savior or has refused to believe, we tell them that even now, their opportunity for them to be saved is now, today, if you hear His voice. Harden not your heart. Today is the day of salvation. Today you can be saved. You can have your sins forgiven. You can become a child of God. But if you're already a child of God, you need to understand that there is a way back. That's important. That's important. And Galatians tells us about that. He tells us about that relationship. And you know, it ought to be such a relationship that's something that we ought to take joy and we ought to wonder about and we ought to be thankful for. But you know, as we go through this, we look throughout the Bible and we look at God, the references to God as a Father. John 20 and verse 17, when Jesus was risen from the dead and Mary was there, Mary Magdalene was there, Jesus said to her, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Jesus, right after His resurrection, confirmed that God, that they were now the children of God. That's an amazing thing. Go to 1 Chronicles chapter 29 verse 10. "Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever." Isaiah 64 and verse 8, "But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay, and thou art potter. We are all the work of thy hand." Malachi chapter 2 and verse 10, "Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously every man against his brother by profaning the covenant of our fathers?" And then Romans chapter 8 and verse 15, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." And the Bible talks about us being heirs in the book of Romans, being heirs and joint heirs with Christ, and all these things that we're talking about, that we have in 1 Peter tells us we have an inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved for us in heaven. You understand that as we live a godly life, we gain a reward, right? If we live that life willingly and our heart is right, we gain a reward. But we also have an inheritance too. It's incorruptible, it's undefiled, it fadeth not away. And this inheritance has been granted to us by our Father in heaven. We're made joint heirs with Christ. And so when we look at this, and we look at the idea of the relationship that we have, we're supposed to have with God, we're supposed to have a relationship with the Father, just as surely as we're supposed to have a relationship with the Son and with the Spirit. We have the relationship with the Spirit and with the Son through with the Father through the Son. Yes, but we're made joint heirs. We're supposed to be we're supposed to look at our Father and see Him through the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that the Father's in Him. And I understand when we start talking about the nature of God and the triune nature of God, and we talk about God being the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and we talk about that, and we talk about each being a distinct person and yet being one God. There's a relationship there that is talked about throughout, and it's focused on that of God being a Father. And like I said before, I understand that there are fathers that have not been good fathers in the earth. But don't blame that on God. And I understand that our fathers have all failed us. There are ways that I look back and I say, man, I wish I'd have done things differently. I feel like I failed my children in many ways. I can see things, even though we try to live good Christian life and everything like that, and good, I can see ways where I feel like I failed as a father. Every time one of my children fail, I feel the failure. And it's just, it is what it is. I mean, that's just the reality of it. And we see that. But and the reason I feel that way is because I know I'm not perfect. I know I've not always done things exactly right. You know, my children see, growing up, saw the best and the worst of me. That's one thing about family. They get to see everything, don't they? Isn't it amazing how we can get out in public and we're on our best behavior when we get home and we're absolute terrors? Huh? I mean, we get home and everybody knows about us, so we just quit trying, I guess. Don't try to improve. Sometimes that's the case. It shouldn't be that way. I guess that's human nature, but the simple fact is your family has seen the very best and the very worst of you. Whereas other people only get to see the best. That's the same thing with parents and children. It's just a reality. So when my children fail, I look at myself and I feel that failure myself. But God feels no such failure because He's never failed. He's never failed. He's never done evil. He's never done wrong. He's never cheated you. He's never neglected you. He's never done you wrong. He's a father. And He wants you as His child if you're not saved. But I see something where Jesus said, He said in verse 31, He said, but that the world may know that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. He said that the world may know that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandment. Jesus said, I want the whole world to know that I love my Father. So in order to do that, I'm going to do what my Father commanded me to do. And I'll tell you something just from personal experience being a father. When my children did what I told them to do, nothing brought greater joy to my heart. You know, God is a good father in every sense. When we fail Him and when we do wrong and when we go the wrong direction, the Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth in Hebrews chapter 12 and scourgeth every son that He receiveth. But He does it for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. God disciplines and chastens His children. Matter of fact, the Bible says that if you're without chastisement, then you're bastards and not sons. You're illegitimate. You're not God's children. Because God loves His children. And when God's children do wrong, God deals with them. If they won't listen to His word, He will deal with them in a different manner to get their attention. God does that. He's a good father. But you know, there's something about that. Even though God's a good father and God disciplines His children and chastens them, He loves them, and that's why He chastens and disciplines. Just like we, hopefully, only chasten and discipline our children because we love them and we want them to do right and to experience the blessings that come with doing right. But you know, the thing about chastening, the thing about discipline, the thing about punishment, everything like that, is you don't learn the blessings of obedience by being punished. All you learn by being punished, kids, listen to me. All you learn by being punished is that there is a cost to sin. You learn that sin or disobedience, you learn there are consequences. And the idea is for you to learn that there's consequences and learn right from wrong, so that one day you don't suffer the consequences for the rest of your life. But the only way, you know, punishment only shows the consequences. Only obedience can show you the benefits. And when we talk about our relationship with God the Father, our obedience is where we learn. And we see Christ as our example in this regard. He says, but that the world may know that I love the Father, as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. You know, Jesus is about to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. And He's about to get to be in such an agony that He is near physical death before He ever gets to Calvary's cross. He said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. Before He ever got to Gethsemane, He was feeling that. But when He got to Gethsemane, He was praying, and He was praying to get to Calvary's cross to complete the obedience, to do what He just said, that the world may know that I love the Father. That's another reason why I can tell you with all assurance that when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, He was not praying to get away from Calvary's cross. He was praying to get to it. He said right here, He said, as the world, so that the world may know that I love the Father, and as my Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Where are they headed? They're headed to Gethsemane. They're headed to Calvary. That's where He's headed. He's not wanting to get out of it. But while He was there, and as He's praying, He was in an agony, and His sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood. The blood vessels in His body were bursting. The capillaries near His skin were bursting, and the sweat was turned to blood, and we see that. And the Bible says an angel appeared, strengthening Him. And so, when we look at what Jesus did there, we see that He received the benefits of obedience. There were times he told the people, He said, they came and said, Lord, I'll follow Thee wherever You go. And Jesus said, foxes have holes, and the birds of the air, the fowls of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay His head. He didn't own any property, didn't own any land, didn't own any home or anything like that. He had no place to lay His head. But He never went hungry, did He? And when He was hungry, there was something there for Him. The only time He hungered was in the temptation, wasn't it? When He was being tempted of the devil. The only time he ever did without in such a way and was 40 days and 40 nights being tempted of the devil in the wilderness, being tempted for us, to show us that even the devil couldn't sway him from obedience to his Father. He learned the blessings of obedience, but whenever there was really a need, he just took care of other folks, and there was plenty there. A few loaves and fishes could turn into a banquet for thousands, right? If he needed to pay the taxes, all he had to do was go send somebody to go fishing. It's not that Jesus, in his obedience, always had an easy life and always had an easy time of it, because he had a lot of opposition. People tried to kill him all the time. Read through your Bible and find out how many times that people tried to kill the Lord Jesus Christ. That talked about it. They tried to find a way to put him to death. They tried to find a way to accuse him. Oh, he had a tough time of it. But he had the blessings of obedience. And I want to tell you today, dear Christian, there is no way that you're going to know the power of God. There is no way that you're going to know the truth of God's Word. There is no way that you're going to have a relationship with God to the extent that it should be, until you are willing to simply obey the Father out of love. And I want to tell you something. What really an amazing thing when I see here about this passage of scripture about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Father knows that Jesus loves him. But Jesus wanted the world to know that he loved his Father. Isn't that something? It's not enough that the Father knows. I want the world to know. And so I'm going to obey my Father, not just privately, but publicly. I'm going to let everybody know that this is what my Father commanded me to do for them. And I think we need to understand, we need to realize that in order to experience the blessings of obedience, you must obey. There's no way around it. You can learn the consequences to sin by God's chastening hand. And yes, because of our nature, because of that old nature, that is many times necessary. But you'll never, never, ever, ever learn the benefits of obedience unless you're obedient. And you will never, ever truly show your love for your Heavenly Father without showing it to the rest of the world. You know, prodigal son, he said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called thy son, right? So I'm not worthy to be called by your name anymore. But the Father said, yes, you are. Yes, you are. Then the prodigal son's brother, all of a sudden he's been obedient all this time, and now, because they're having a party, he's upset and he's angry. Because he wanted a party. And that brings me to my final point is, sometimes we forget the blessings of obedience. See, you can't have the blessings of obedience without obedience. But you need to be careful that you don't take those blessings for granted. Isn't it funny when we begin to take those blessings for granted, we begin to not really care whether the world knows we love the Father or not? This kind of go together. That attitude of heart. Do you want the world to know that you love your Heavenly Father? The only way to do that is by showing the world that as your Father gave you commandment, that's what you're going to do. That's how we show our love to the Father. What is it that God wants you to do? What does the Bible tell you? It may be big, it may be small. But you can show the Lord and the world that you love the Father by simply being obedient. Isn't that something? Just simple obedience. Just being willing to read what the Bible says and say, yep, that's what I want to do. And we can continue to grow in grace, and we can continue to learn things, and we can continue to honor our Father, and we can show the world that we love the Father, and we can reap the blessings of obedience. What an amazing thing. Say, man, I want to be like Jesus. Well, he said, but the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Do you want to show the world that you love your Heavenly Father? Very simple. Simple obedience. And obedience comes by trust. Father, help us, we pray, to trust and obey you the way we ought to. I pray, Lord, that you would bless each one with understanding. Help us to desire to show the world that we love you. Lord, help us to love you the way we ought to by simple obedience. Father, we just thank you for all the blessings you've given us, but help us to learn the blessings of obedience. That abiding presence that when we keep your word, when we're obedient to your word, we abide in your love. Help us to learn that and know it as a fact of our lives. And help us, Lord, to get to the point where the world looks at our obedience and say they love their Father. Help us to that end, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.